Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you with us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm excited to share with you the second part in a series that I did on grace-based purity parenting to help you navigate your kids through the adolescent years. This week's session is really going to dive into the three essentials of grace-based coaching, grace-based correction, and grace-based culture. Hope that it really helps you in your parenting of your teens, that you might be able to raise them into godly men and women of integrity. Enjoy. I'm going to share with you three sort of what I call these essentials in terms of navigating our kids through this period of adolescence in their lives. And it's grace-based coaching, grace-based correction, and grace-based culture. So let's take a look at grace-based coaching first. This is teaching sexual integrity principles. And really, it's trying to answer that question, what are the basics of sex education? Guess what? We do need to teach our children. You can go to the next slide there. We do need to be the ones to teach our children about sex. They're going to get all kinds of other information from other places, but we need to be willing to expressly voice, put our voice into this conversation. A lot of parents kind of think they can like throw a pamphlet at their kid or make suggestions or kind of be passive aggressive in how they're telling them to be pure without ever just having honest conversations. And what I've put up here is when I talk about basics, these are the basics, like the basics of the basics. First, that sex is good. God created it. Now, if you struggle with that, then that's something you need to wrestle with. You need to wrestle with God through this because He said sex is good. We know this because in Genesis chapter 1, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created us distinctly with sexuality. And after He had created mankind, after He looked at everything He created, He said, it's very good. God said, sex is good. We need to tell our kids, sex is good. It's a good thing. It's something God created. We also need to tell them that your body is good, that God created it. There are some out there that might tell you, listen, everything about your body, because, you know, we call it flesh. Oh my goodness, it's all bad. Well, there's a distinction in the Bible between flesh, when we're talking about your physical body, and flesh when you're talking about that sinful nature that we carry in our bodies. But that doesn't mean that your body is evil. That doesn't mean your body is something terrible. Did you know, out of all of creation, the human form was the only thing that God touched? Everything else, He just said a word, and there's light, there's fish, there's all kinds of things. But with us, guess what He did? He reached down and He touched dirt. God touched us. He said, I'm going to make a man out of this dirt. And then He reached into the man and He made a woman out of the man. God made our bodies. He didn't just speak our bodies into existence. And I love Psalm 139 where He talks about us being knit together in our mother's womb. Who do you think's doing the knitting? And for those of you who have a hard time with seeing some of God's female characteristics, He knits. Okay? He knits us together in our mother's womb. So your body is good. You need to teach your kids. We, from the time our kids were, you know, little kids having, you know, baths in the bathtub, we call body parts what they are. We said, God made you this way. God made you a boy. God made you a girl. It's good. And we want to train our kids to know that their body is good and sex is good. Also, by doing that, we're teaching them that their body is valuable and their sexuality is valuable. Because God declared it good, that immediately places intrinsic value on it. Because whatever God calls good has value. And the fact that he looked at humans after everything else was created, because everything else that was created, he said, it's good, it's good, good. Man and woman comes along and he goes, very good. He put the very good stamp on us. And so that means our bodies and our sexuality have a high value. And because of that, that's a training point for teaching your kids that things with high value need greater protection. He put a high value on it and placed it in a particular context, which is that God made sex for marriage. We need to teach our kids unapologetically that sex is made for marriage. One man with one woman in the covenant bond of marriage for life. Period. We do not need to be apologetic about that. We don't need to be politically correct about that. We need to tell our kids what God has told us. And he said, guess what I made sex for? I made it for marriage. Period. And by the way, I hope you have a great conversation with your kids this afternoon, because that's what I told them this morning, is that it's made for marriage. That is the context. That's the container, so to speak, that God said I'm putting sex into, where it is best expressed and where it is blessed. We need to tell our kids that. Here's the other thing that I think is a basic that we need to teach our kids, that you will be tempted to misuse your sexuality. Guys, I can't tell you how many parents, and I've certainly been one from time to time, where I just kind of want to cross my fingers and go, well, if we just teach them everything that they should do, and if they just do all of that, then they'll be fine. They won't face any temptation. The problem with that is if we are pointing them to Jesus, they're going to struggle. You know why? Because the Bible says that Jesus, the one who never sinned, was tempted in every way just as we are. Yikes. If you have this expectation that if I just get my kids on the right track, if they just know what's right, and if they just always do that, they will never be tempted. Well, for one thing, that's not going to happen over here, right? They always do that. But the other thing, even if they did, the righteous one, Jesus, was tempted. So they're going to be tempted. I think it's better to set your kids up with the truth than to just hope they don't discover it. Set them up with the truth. So many parents are afraid that if they tell their kids they're going to be tempted, that the next day they're going to go out and get pregnant and all these awful things are going to happen. I think the more you can instruct your kids on the realities of the difficulties of living a sexually pure life, you're actually better preparing them, because when they see that temptation, they're not like I was at 12 years old going, what is this? This is trauma. I don't have a clue how to handle this. Oh my goodness, what do I do? And just stuff it. Instead, they might see it and go, oh yeah, Dad told me about that. I mean, it doesn't mean that they won't have feelings of temptation, but it won't have the same, like, kick you in the gut kind of reaction, because you're preparing them along the way to know that they will be tempted. Another thing we need to talk about is what I call grace-based correction. How do you respond to sexual stumbles? And really trying to answer that question, what to do if sexual boundaries are crossed? This is usually the place where parents like to camp out. I'm going to give you three. I'm going to give you grace-based coaching, correction, and then also culture. But a lot of times, parents, they kind of only want to focus on this part because, hey, we know our kids aren't perfect. We know our kids are going to fail and they're going to struggle, things like that. So how do we correct them? How do we lock them down? That kind of stuff. But I want to share with you that I believe if you focus much of your attention on the other two essentials, grace-based coaching and grace-based culture, which we'll see here in a minute, you'll actually spend very little time here in correction. It doesn't mean that your kids won't need correcting. Hey, no matter where we are in life, we all need correction. We all get off course from time to time. We need instruction. We need correction. But sometimes the reason parents feel like this is all they're doing is because they may not be investing time in coaching their kids. They may not be investing time in actually training their kids and teaching them what is healthy sexuality. What does God say about sexuality? How can we respond in grace and truth to them? So if your kid crosses a line, move toward them, not away. Move toward them in your speech. Move toward them in your attitude. Move toward them even physically. It is a lonely, scary place to be exposed for having stumbled or crossed a line. It's very hard. Think about it. It's hard for us even today, right? As adults, the pressure feels so much more intense as an adolescent. They have so many more things going on hormonally and all kinds of things. It's a scary, frightening, lonely place for them to be when they're either caught, exposed, or they confess. regardless of how you come to know about this, you need to move toward your child. In the same way, Jesus did not walk away from that woman caught in adultery. He stood right there. He stayed right in the middle of it. He stayed there. You need to remind them that nothing they could do could make you love them less. Because nothing you and I can do could make God love us less. Now, if you struggle with this, if you, when you get brutally honest with yourself, if you realize that you have put your child on sort of a love-value continuum, which basically says, if you're doing well, I love you more. If you're doing poorly, I love you less. And sometimes when we get brutally honest, we have to say we've done that to a degree. We need to confess that before God and repent and seek to have God's heart towards our kids, which is, you know what? No matter what they do, no matter what they do, it cannot affect my love for them, because nothing they do can affect their value before God. And so they need to know that. Also, you need to talk about the infraction candidly and without shame. Now, this may be harder for you than for them, okay? And probably one of the things you're going to discover as we move further and further in this talk is that there's a lot of self-analysis that's going to have to go on as a parent. You're going to have to look at your own life. Now, you might have been thinking that you were going to come here and I was going to give you like 7 things to like beat your kids with so that they will be pure the rest of their lives. The fact of the matter is, they're looking to you for instruction. They're looking to you for correction. They're looking to you for what does it take to be a man or a woman of great character. So if you are not a man or woman of great character, that's the place to start. And so you need to be able to talk candidly about this. This means let's talk about what happened. You know, got pregnant, looking at porn, whatever else. Let's talk about this. And the key here is without shame. You will not have to pour shame on your child. They're carrying it already. You know, one thing, especially when you're talking about children that are growing up with a Christian worldview, sometimes they carry just this extra amount of shame because they know what the truth is. And so the fact that they've crossed a line, whether through ignorance and curiosity or whether through willful defiance, either way, that they're going to have to wrestle with shame. And so you don't need to pile on and add more shame that basically diminishes their worth and their value. You need to say, listen, we're going to talk about this. We're going to deal with this. But there's nothing that could change how I feel about you in terms of my love for you. And there's certainly nothing that I'm going to add into your shame. Now, here's the thing you have to ask. Was the error out of ignorance and curiosity or rebellion and willful defiance or sin? If it was out of ignorance and curiosity, what your kid needs in terms of correction is instruction. Do not discipline your child for having stumbled across the line through ignorance or curiosity. I see a lot of parents when they're, you know, they might discover that their 13 or 14-year-old son, somebody showed him pornography at his friend's house or whatever, and these parents, they want to jump into a discipline mode with their kid. And it's like, whoa, time out. Your kid didn't willfully and it wasn't an act of rebellion. Somebody introduced this into his life. Somebody poured that into his life. Was it not good for him and not right for him to be looking at that? Absolutely. But what he needs at that point is instruction. All right, let's talk about this line. Let's talk about what happened. Why do you think that line is there? Let's see what God has to say. Let's instruct our kid and then help them to know when they're getting close to that line and how to detect that, and then they can move away from that. Hey, you know what? Maybe you need to spend some less time at that kid's house. What do you think about that? And they, you know, you just have a conversation about it. It's instruction, not discipline. However, if it was rebellion or willful sin, in other words, they knew where the line was and they knew what they were doing was wrong and they did it anyway, they need discipline. In the same way that if we do anything in our lives where we know where the line is and we do something anyway, God must discipline us, right? If you haven't caught it by now, essentially, we are seeking to parent our kids the way God parents us. That's really what it boils down to. He's full of grace and truth, and he deals with us in grace and truth. We need to deal with our kids in grace and truth. When he corrects us, guess what he does? If you stumble into sin, God doesn't discipline you. He instructs you. If you go hard charging into sin willfully, he disciplines you. But even in that, the word tells us in Hebrews that God disciplines those he loves. That gets us back to that second point, right? Nothing could make you love your child any less. Nothing could make God love you any less. Why do we correct and discipline our children? Because we love them. And then I'm going to tell you a little suggestion here that I think can help in the disciplining of your child. Invite them into the solution. A lot of times what ends up happening is, you know, after you breathe into that sack, when you find out whatever's happened has happened, and you find out that your kid knew that it was wrong, and you know that discipline is necessary, this is usually where mom and dad have a powwow, and they come up with all of the restrictions, and then they go lay it on the kid. Say, here's the law. This is what it's going to be. And listen, if you've done that, this is a no-shame zone, okay? I hope that we all recognize that the reason I opened with what I did with the Tim Hawkins thing is we've all thrown bricks at our kids' heads, okay? We've all screwed up in some way. We're not perfect parents. But I want to invite you to consider another way to approach that situation. Another way would be to actually have that conversation that you would typically have as mom and dad separately, have that conversation with your child. And say, hey, okay, you recognize where the line was, you've confessed that. Now, as part of repentance and getting back on track, what do you think could be helpful for keeping you from going down that path again? Now, I was telling this talk to our staff, I was kind of sharing with it this last week, and I was sharing this part of it about correction, inviting your kids into this process, and we have one lady on our staff, she's the mom of 5 grown kids. And so I glean a lot of wisdom from her. She's a great parent. Her husband's a great dad. And she said, you know, we've done this with our kids before. And she said, what's amazing, she says, a lot of times they come up with harsher penalties than we would have even come up with. So sometimes it's like they know themselves maybe even better than we do, because 71% of teens hide online behavior from their parents, right? That if you invite them into that conversation, they might know the path that they took to get there better than you do. So you trying to make assumptions about how to not get them to go down that path again is saying that your kid has never hidden anything from you, and you know your kid better than they know them. You know, if you invite them into that conversation, then you might be able to have them pick kind of what boundary they want to have applied for that season. Here's the other thing that happens. Then you check in for encouragement, accountability, and prayer. It helps so much in accountability, in holding your child accountable, when you've included them in the solution. Because see, if you come in and you just lay down the law and say, you're going to do this, guess what? You've already created a combative environment. You are the enemy. You are imposing something on me. I'm going to push back to it. We're even told in Scripture, by the way, that is our natural response to law. I didn't know what kind of covetousness was in my being until the law said, do not covet. Then everything covetousness came out of my being, right? So if you come into your kid and say, here's the law, guess what they're naturally going to do? I'm going to push back on it. Whereas if you come in and you say, you know what, my intent here is to help you. I want you to be a man or woman of purity. And so what do you think could help you move in that direction? And when they are part of the solution, then as you hold them accountable, let's say they stumble. Let's say they try to get around whatever it is that they agreed to set up. Then your accountability doesn't look like dad or mom the cop. Your accountability looks like, you know what, I want to hold you to your word, because part of being a man or woman of integrity is keeping your word. Did you not agree to say that this was going to be what you were going to do for this season, right? See, I want you to grow up into being a man or a woman of integrity. And to do that, you've got to be able to face not only what you do, but the consequences of what you do, and take responsibility for that. You said that this is what you were going to do for the next 30 days. But here we are in day 7, and this is what you did. Can you tell me what's going on and how you're going to take responsibility for that? You're not the cop anymore. You're actually trying to help your child grow into a man or woman of integrity. And it shifts the whole paradigm about how you see correction. You're correcting your child because you love them, foundation of grace and truth, and you're trying to lead them to a place where they're going to be in adulthood. It's not about necessarily that moment. You've got to be thinking further down the road than that. That moment is scary. That moment is difficult. That moment can be sleepless nights. But keep the end in mind. I want this child to grow into a man or woman of integrity. It's not about them at 14. It's about them at 25 and 40 and 60. And how can what I'm doing here teach them how to take responsibility and own my own sin and take the consequences and be able to move forward in grace and truth. And then the final area that I think is really essential is grace-based culture, cultivating an atmosphere of care and growth. And here we're trying to answer this question of what atmosphere is your home creating? The first thing is model purity. So here's the thing. This comes back to you, right? Dads, we cannot have a voice for integrity in our sons' lives or our daughters' lives if we're looking at porn, if we're doing things that are sexually inappropriate, if we're engaged in conversations that we don't need to be engaged in at work, if we essentially are feeding our lust, we cannot have a voice for integrity in our sons' and daughters' lives. Ladies, if you are in, you know, if you're reading romance novels that are raunchy, if you are involved in conversations of sexual nature with your girlfriends, I mean, all kinds of things like that, you've also lost the ability to have a voice for integrity in your daughters' and sons' lives. We need to be modeling. Now, understanding, remember the foundation was what? Grace and truth, right? Do you think any of us are going to model perfectly for our children? No, this is why we keep having to point them to Jesus. But here's the thing. We need to be willing to embrace and accept the responsibility that we expect our kids to embrace and accept. When they stumble, what do we expect? Hey, we expect them to take responsibility for it, repent, and move forward, right? We need to model that for them. When we stumble, we need to be able to repent and move forward for that, from that. And so it needs to be in grace and truth. But guess what? Your kids are looking at you whether you want them to or not. They're looking to you to be the model. And you, whether you accept that responsibility or not, you are the model for your kids. I've had plenty of guys, we do these three-day intensive workshops for men who are struggling with porn issues and just trying to break free from sexually addictive behaviors. And one of the things, one of the insights that a lot of guys get there is, especially the guys who still have kids at home, especially sons, and this is one of the things that breaks them down to their core, is they realize that although they have been trying to hide this flaw in their character, their son has been seeing dad model what a sex addict looks like. And they realize they can't get back that time. They can't get back the time. The good news is God's a redeemer of time. So wherever you are, parents, right now, if you are personally struggling with some secrets, if you've got some things that need to be dealt with, deal with it. Let God restore and heal you so that you might be able to redeem the time that you have from here forward with your children and see God do amazing things. I also think mentoring your kids regarding purity is important. This is a little bit different than the way I consider coaching. Coaching, I think, is like the tag team parenting education. Like as mom and dad, you're both educating your children on sexual purity and on God's design for sex. Mentoring, I see more as, okay, listen, moms, you are going to be a better mentor for daughters than even a dad could. Hey, dads can coach their daughters, dads can speak into their daughters, dads can show their daughters what a man of God looks like, but dads aren't a woman. There's something to this mentorship. Think of it in terms of like a master apprentice. A woman is going to be the best master of a female apprentice. She's going to be able to teach that girl how to become a woman. The same way where a man is going to be able to mentor and train that boy up into what it means to be a man. I'm not saying that there can't be any sort of cross thing here, but it's like, really, men are going to be best equipped for helping boys become men, and women are going to be best equipped for helping girls become women. And that's what I mean in this mentoring aspect. Moderate media in the home. What this means is, what's the volume of media that's in the home? So this is more about just saying, hey, what are we doing regarding the volume? What we've done this year with our kids is, when the school year started up again, it was like, okay, Monday through Thursday, no TV, no screens, that kind of thing. And then weekends, you know, we can watch some media. So I think you need to have some moderation to be able to say, okay, if you're perpetually and constantly in front of media, it might not be telling you the truth about your sexuality. You need to monitor your children's use of internet, TV, phones, etc. Now, I want to share with you my personal philosophy toward this, and I understand not everybody will adopt this, but it really helps me as a parent and just as a human being. One of the things that I've learned being in this ministry is that there's nowhere in Scripture where God has a different standard for sexual purity for adults than He does for children. The standard is the same. The standard is not even a hint of sexual immorality, Ephesians 5:3. That's the standard. It doesn't matter whether you're 10, whether you're 50. So one of the things that I do in my own home is there's nothing that I have, an iPhone, iPad, whatever, that none of my kids could pick up at any time and look at whatever they wanted to on my phone. They can pick it up anytime they want. We've made this monitoring an interactive thing. It's not just, hey, parents have all the wisdom on purity and all this kind of stuff, and so therefore, it's just us constantly monitoring children. It's like, hey, guess what? We're all held to the same standard. Kids, you can pick up my phone anytime you want. There's not going to be anything on there that's inappropriate. Because I want to model for you what a man of integrity looks like. And so you are free to look into my life as the same way I'm looking into your life. Now, clearly there are boundaries to this, you know. Your bedroom is off limits when we're talking about sexuality, okay? This is not a back and forth kind of a thing. But as far as kind of how you are handling media, are you willing to let your kids look in on your life in the same way that you would expect that you can look in on theirs? Now, there's obviously some things that break down here. Like if you've got, I mean, the reason I'm saying this to you guys is y'all are parents of 5th through 12th graders. You know, if there's a parent of a 4-year-old, I'm like, don't give them your iPhone. They're going to break it, okay? But as far as the morality, the integrity, we want to be able to say this goes both ways. I want my kids to be able to look in on my life and be able to see what I'm doing the same way that I want to be able to look in on their life and monitor what they're doing. Motivate them to pursue Christ in purity and finally meditate on God's Word personally and as a family. We need to create this culture in our homes that is saying it's important to take seriously our purity because God takes it seriously. He says, I've placed a high value on your sexuality, so much so that there's only one environment in which I want you to experience it, and that's marriage. Did you know that the rarer something is, the more valuable it is, right? God has made sex very rare, at least from His perspective. There's one place and one place only that sexual expression is to happen, and that's in marriage, which means that it's hugely valuable. It's extremely valuable. We need to teach that to our kids through coaching, through correcting, and through a culture in our homes that is going to help them grow into the man or woman of purity. And that's really where I think this goes. The next slide, to me, sort of sums it up. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Parents, our job here is to help our kids navigate into adulthood. Our job is not to try to fix and resolve every single issue they stumble with. I believe it's better to, what do they say, you know, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. I believe we need to teach our kids how to fish when it comes to being men or women of sexual integrity.
Thanks for being with us here this week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. I want to share with you a place that you can go in helping your kids understand their media choices and how you can help them as a parent and how you can just kind of get a feel for and a grasp on your media in your home and how you can help your students and your kids navigate through the tempting years of adolescence. If you go to MediaTalk101.org, that's MediaTalk101.org. There's a lot of great resources and blogs and books and just good stuff there to help you kind of make some good decisions about your media choices in your home. We're glad you've been with us, and we look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at PureSexRadio.com.